The Fever booked their place in the 2020 Suncorp Super Netball Grand Final, and Caitlin Bassett is moving to New Zealand in 2021. We'll talk about it all and be joined by Lisa Alexander this week on the Centre Pass Podcast. Welcome to the Center Pass Podcast, brought to you by Netball Draft Central. My name is Jared Gardner, and as always, I'm joined by Taylor Mulkey and Sophie Taylor. And it's been a big week in netball. Taylor, I'll start with you. Probably the biggest news, there was a game on the week in a preliminary final, but it was overshadowed by the news that Caitlin Bassett will be moving to New Zealand in 2021.
Yeah, I had a bit of a sneaky feeling about this. Always had a bit of a gut feeling, given how long the Magic had taken to release their shooters, that we were seeing an SSN player maybe cross the ditch. Never did I kind of expect it to be the Australian Diamonds captain in Caitlin Bassett, but it's a huge move, not only for herself, but the ANZ Premiership as a league. So it's a really exciting and uncharted territory kind of for Bassett to be that sole Aussie over there. So hopefully she can infiltrate New Zealand, get some key information, then feed it back to the Diamonds.
Yeah, definitely. And Sophie, obviously the Fever booking their spot in the grand final up against the Vixens. It was a pretty dominant performance in the end.
Yeah, and I don't think it was one that many people didn't expect, as terrible as it sounds. I think the Lightning came into it off the back of two huge losses to the Fever already and didn't necessarily have that confidence. And although they started pretty well, it just wasn't enough to get them over the line. And I think a lot of Vixens fans were probably going for the Lightning, and it just didn't go the Lightning's way in the end.
Yeah, 100%. And that's where we'll start off this episode. It was the Fever 73 defeating the Lightning 59. And Sophie, as you said, two times these teams had met throughout the regular season, it was the Fever who'd won by 24 points and then 20 points. So it wasn't really a surprise, because the Fever had the wood over the Lightning all season, but it was just a dominant performance from the West Coast Fever.
Yeah, we kind of saw it last week when the Lightning took on the Vixens. Once they kind of got out of sorts, they couldn't bring themselves back into the game. And I think it's a lot to do with those key players who we're so used to seeing stand up week in and week out, but they have no one to fall back on if those players don't work out. And I mean, you look at the likes of Pretorius and Mawaini, they both had solid games on the weekend, but it was nothing to be really, really excited about, because they haven't really shown us that this year. I mean, they've had patches where it's been really good, but going into it, I mean, even from the start, the Swifts last week had so much control over that Fever front end, and there was none of that for the Lightning. Defensively, they just couldn't hold up. And then as the defense kind of crumbled, the attack kind of fell with it.
Yeah, and touching on that, I think a point we kind of brought up last week, or I know I especially touched on, was the fact that the Lightning front end really don't do well with physicality, and there was no two ways around it. Courtney Bruce and Stacey Francis are renowned for that physical man-on-man pressure, and they brought that game, knowing all good and well that Kara Konen and Steph Wood don't like that physicality and that constant niggle and things like that. So it was quite easy to get under their skin. And at halftime, as harsh as it sounds, at halftime it was evident when Steph Wood had that quick chat to the commentators saying, oh, you know, there's a lot of this happening, there's a lot of dress grabbing, there's this and that. It's clear that once you start to get in the head of Wood and Konen when it comes to that physical element, that they kind of fall off the radar, and then their shooting starts to really struggle, and therefore the attack struggles. I think we've also touched on that Laura Sherian has been subpar this season, and I think Jess Anstis just wore her like a glove in the end, and therefore, once again, that attacking unit just really fell by the wayside, and they couldn't get that punch into the circle. And the hesitation to release into Konen for me was a real concern, because sometimes she was there and they wouldn't deliver the ball, which then created more opportunities for Courtney Bruce to go out and do what she loves, and that's take those intercepts and create so much fear and doubt into opposition teams. So I think it was just, like you said, Soph, a really strong performance by the Fever, but I also think the Lightning were just shell-shocked yet again, but I don't know why, because the Fever just came out with that same intensity that they always do.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think for me, I look at this game and I think the mid-court was where the Fever really got on top. And Taylor, you spoke about Anstis on Sherian, but also Verdie Charles lining up against Laura Langman, and then Emma Koch, who's been a revelation for the Fever since Ingrid Collier has gone down. It's just been amazing to see her step up to the level and play at such a high level in this second part of the season for the Fever. And then that link into attack with Alice Tegneal and Janelle Fowler, it's just, it almost looked unstoppable on the weekend. And the Fever go into the grand final with a heap of confidence, because a couple of good wins in the last couple of weeks, it's a pretty scary sight.
I think I brought it up last week that the Swifts in particular in the second half last week gave Alice Tegneal way too much space. And that's exactly what the Fever did again today. Lightning did yesterday. They gave Alice Tegneal far too much space to do exactly what she wanted to do and do what she needed to do. And I think they gave Fowler the credit she deserved, but didn't give Tegneal the credit that she deserved as a feeder and as a player who can really play that great assisting role out the front. And that really frustrated me, because I felt like that was quite evident, from at least from my point of view. Obviously I'm not an SSN coach, so maybe it's just something that I've noticed, but I feel like that was something really, really obvious last week that needed to be worked on, and it didn't happen this week. So I think that part was kind of what frustrated me. But the other thing was down at the other end. You could see from the get-go that Courtney Bruce was well and truly on top of Cara Conan. And I think Conan really lost her confidence quite early in the match, and she still shot at 100%, so full credit to her. But Courtney Bruce was so good, and Conan was almost allowing Bruce to take her space as much as she needed to. And I feel like once Peace Proskovia came into the goal shooter position, Bruce wasn't able to use her body quite as much. Obviously, Proskovia is quite a strong, solid player. She's not easily moved. And I think that was something that the Lightning really missed out on when they had Conan on court for, I think it was like the first half or something. It was quite a long time before they decided to make that change.
But my thing is that they just did not release the ball into Conan. She was there. She was offering time and time again. And therefore, she was losing confidence because they weren't giving the ball to her. If you've got a goal shooter there commanding the ball, put some trust in her. Put some faith in her, you know. She's not just fresh off the bench. She's now been named in the Diamonds. Give her that respect as well to go, you know what, I'm going to put this ball to you. You do what you do best, and that is grab the ball. Do that dodge along the baseline, which she's so good at. And she's much better when she kind of comes off the body, and she wasn't able to do that. But that was both in part to Courtney Bruce and the fact that the Lightning were so hesitant on that pass. And 9 times out of 10, it was just Laura Langman and Steph Woodshow down in that attacking end. They kind of forgot that the other players existed. And I think that also allowed the Fever to kind of just dominate. But I mean, full credit to the Fever. They knew their game plan. They executed it perfectly, and everything was just humming for them. There was not a single thing that they could have done better, I don't think.
Yeah, I think I agree with that one. Just finally, before we do move on, there was one thing that did catch my eye on social media, and I haven't spoken to you two about this. The Fever posted their full-time score graphic on Twitter, and they said, "We're going to the Grandy."
No, that's not a thing.
Grandy?
No way!
Straight away, I saw that, and I couldn't believe that. And it's almost enough for me to jump on the Vixens in the grand final, because I just... I can't be having that. So that was just the one thing that if the Fever could have done anything better on the weekend, it was that tweet.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but what even is a Grandy? Everyone knows it's Granny. Like, who says that? I've never in my life heard, oh yeah, we're just going to the Grandy. No, you're not.
Very strange. But full credit to the Fever. A great performance on the weekend, and a great performance throughout, especially the second half of 2020. They've been probably the form side of the competition and have done an enormous job. We will have a special episode later on this week where we preview the grand final in depth, so do watch out for that one. We won't do that right now, but we will move on. And We'll talk about, as we said off the top, the biggest news coming out of the week and coming out of Australian netball was Caitlin Bassett moving over to the Magic in the ANZ Premiership over in New Zealand. It sort of came as a shock. I thought we obviously knew she wasn't going to be at the Giants, but we thought maybe she'd find a spot in another Suncorp Super Netball team. What were your guys' first reactions to the news?
Well, I mean, I'll go since Taylor spoke her part earlier on in the episode. I think for me, I was surprised, not that she left, but that the Australian netball had allowed her to leave. I think that was what shocked me more. I mean, Taylor had it called weeks ago. She said it ages ago about the Magic not having named their goalers. And I was kind of like, I still don't think it will happen. I don't think Australian netball will let her go. But it appears they did. So I think that's the part that's most frustrating to me. I think this will be really damaging for the Diamonds, not necessarily just because Seabass will now be in New Zealand, but also because of the lack of development that the Diamonds young guns will get practicing against her. I think that will be a hugely difficult thing. But I mean, I guess that's just my opinion on the matter. I think at the end of the day, I think good for her. She clearly wasn't enjoying her time at the Giants. And I think she clearly needed to make a decision that was going to benefit her mentally as well as physically. She hasn't been getting the court time. She has said in articles during the week that she hasn't been in the best headspace because of that. And I think if that's the decision she needed to make to be able to continue her career, and I really hope she's able to continue her career back in Australia after she's done with Magic, I think that if this is the best decision that she wanted to make, then that's the best real decision that has come out of this, if that makes sense.
I think for me, it's just incredibly disappointing to think that it got to that stage, if that makes sense. You don't have your Australian Diamonds captain, goal shooter, sitting on the bench week in, week out. We've touched on before that the stats are actually in her favour, that the Giants do perform better when they have her on court because she is such a commanding presence. And in no means am I saying that if she played every single game, the Giants would be, you know, premiership contenders and yada, yada, yada. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that the stats are there to show that she does have a huge influence on the game. And to think that she was unable to ply her trade week in and week out and was kind of relegated to the bench is really disappointing, not only from just a netball fan's perspective, but I think internally, or you look at the club and you kind of wonder what was the reasoning behind that. And I suppose that's not for us to judge, not for us to get into, because every club has their own thought process and they did what they believed is best. So it is a really exciting prospect now, though. You look across to the ANZ Premiership, I should say, and they've had some really exciting young defenders coming up through the ranks. They've got some really promising shooters, and I think that the competition as a whole is only getting better. And as I chatted to Sam Winders, the captain of Magic, throughout the week, and she pretty much said all the New Zealand shooters were gone, so we thought, why not try and get the best shooter in the world? Why not try and get the best, you know, go for the stars, and if you get it, great. If you don't, you don't. And she goes, we bloody got it. So, you know, why wouldn't you be happy with that? It's a huge coup, not only to the Magic itself, but the league in itself. It's just such an exciting thing now, and it's going to really get more netball followers actively watching the ANZ Premiership, which we've seen just develop at a rate of knots. So I think the only way is up for Caitlin Bassett, and I think that considering the amount of defensive zones that New Zealand have and put on, this could really benefit her game.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. And I think I personally watch the ANZ Premiership a lot more this year than I have previously. And it was very impressive to see not only the Silver Ferns that they have playing in the competition, but also the young players that are up and coming. So I think it's a good chance for Caitlin Bassett to get that confidence back and get that court time again and get back to the dominant way or the dominant player that we've seen for so many years at Diamonds level. So can't wait to see what she does, because I think we all know she's going to have a massive impact over in that competition. But yeah, it was pretty disappointing to see it happen. I think you can understand if it was just a younger player who was just trying to make their name and build up their own career. But when it's the captain of the Diamonds, it just really doesn't make any sense. The other kind of big news to come out of the last week in terms of Super Netball is the announcement that the Firebirds and Rosalie Jenke have parted ways. This was pretty unexpected. I thought she was going to go on again in 2021 and beyond for the Firebirds. What did you guys think of that?
I think it's really huge news, and I'm really intrigued by it because I was trying to find it online for about a week. No, not a week. I was trying to find it online last week and see how long that she was meant to be on contract for, because I was under the impression that the Firebirds had actually signed an extension to her contract. So to hear that news, I was really surprised. And then I was like, maybe I just made it up in my head. Like at the end of the day, I still don't quite understand why she would part ways at this point. It really intrigued me in that the Firebirds have been very successful compared to last year. And I think looking at that, I just kind of wonder what's going on there.
Well, I'll touch on that. She's been at the club for 11 years. I think the contribution she has made to the Firebirds is really huge. And you look at some of these young players, clearly defensively, the likes of Tara Hinchliffe and Kim Jenner have just developed at a rate of knots. And I think that's down to Jenke and the work she puts in with those younger players. And clearly even Lara Dunkley and Gemma Maimai coming up through those ranks, you've really seen them develop and blossom. So I think it's kind of like she's developed them to their extent now. And it's almost like, okay, what else can I do? So I wouldn't be surprised if she does lend her hand at another club and kind of bring that next layer of players up. Because, for example, I'm sure we'll touch on this, but the Magpies have a vacancy, and I think it would be a very smart opportunity for Jenke to maybe wander down to the Holden Centre and pick up a netball there, because there are some really young players that could do with someone like Jenke. You look at Matilda Garrett, and clearly she's been a little bit up and down, but having the defensive mind of Jenke could work wonders. And we've already seen that Molly Jovic has just developed so much, and she's only been here for a year, like in the SSN. And so I think that having someone like Jenke at the club could be really beneficial, but it did come as a surprise to me that she was leaving the Firebirds. Jared, what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think I was the same. And I think my first reaction in our little group chat was, there's a spot at the Magpies Open. It makes the most sense to see her there. But, we'll wait and see. I think she's done a great job with the Firebirds over the 11 years that she's been with the club. And it's disappointing the last couple of seasons in terms of results. But she's developed a great young squad there. And they're really primed to make a run at finals and really challenge those top sides in the coming 1 or 2 years. So, I think she's done an awesome job with the team, and I think she'll land somewhere and do a great job wherever she goes. I think she's just such a great coach. And just another little piece of news coming out of the last week was the announcement that Sasha Glasgow has decided to explore her free agency options and maybe move away from the Adelaide Thunderbirds for 2021. That was another little bit of a shock, but I guess, Sophie, I might go to you first. What did you think of that, and where do you think she might land?
Yeah, I think this is really interesting because, and I think I made it very clear last year, I really like Sasha Glasgow. I think she's a really great young goaler. Her rebounding ability is something that I think a lot of players could really take notes from. She's just really good at rebounding. Anyway, unrelated. I really, really like her. I do wonder where she's going to go, because I think a lot of the talk during the week has been, oh yeah, Vixens have a spot open, and I would love to see her at the Vixens, but Vixens do have a real priority and have for the last however many years of bringing players up through their own pathways. And I think I think if they do take her on, it will be for just a year contract, something like that, to help to maybe take out a starting spot out in goal attack with MJ Kumwenda and have Sasha McDonald, one of their training partners, on the bench and kind of solidify over the season and then kind of build her up that way. I don't see them taking anyone on for a significant amount of time, and that's kind of my worry for Glasgow, because you look at the young talent that's around the country at the moment, and you know that a lot of those young players, probably especially the young training partners in particular, like Georgie Horgis and Tipper Dwan, who was technically elevated when Bueda got pregnant, you look at those young guns and you kind of think, when they're training partners, you don't really expect them to want to move far away from home, unless, I mean, there's always the outliers, like Nia Allen moved here. So it's things like that. I do wonder where she will be able to slot in, whether she will end up just sitting on the bench again, which is frustrating because she deserves that starting spot. She would have had that starting spot sewn up if it wasn't for Lenise Potgieter. So I do wonder about what will happen with Glasgow. And yeah, if she ends up at Vixens, I don't think it will be for a long time.
My thing on that is that I think she does her best work in at goal shooter, and I think that most SSN clubs have that goal shooter position sewn up, which therefore means she's going to have to spend more time out in goal attack. And don't get me wrong, I don't think she does a bad job out in goal attack, but I think that her tank probably isn't at that level yet. So in terms of her shot and her playmaking skills, it's not up to that goal attack standard or level yet. She's still at that goal shooter level, which is perfectly fine because that is where she has spent most of her time, and I think that's where she's most effective because, like you touched on, Soph, she can rebound really well, and I think she's an incredibly strong force under the post and can hold and move and do all of those sorts of things. But you look at most teams now, when they've got that starting goal shooter, they need either a complementary goal attack that will play that feeding role, or you do look at the Vixens, who often tend to share the load, but are known for their ability, for their wanting or willingness to kind of stick to the Victorian pathways. However, I don't think that means that they will rule her out. So I think there's quite a few options, maybe even potentially the Magpies, who knows. But one thing that kind of gives me a little bit of hope is if she's leaving the Thunderbirds or willing to explore options, does that mean Georgie Horgis is getting a call up to a more permanent role? So that's a little glimmer of hope.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait and see. I think you both make great points in that. But most of the Suncorp Super Netball, if not all of the Suncorp Super Netball teams, have that goal shooter position really locked in. And the Vixens, I think, have sounded like the most logical place. But as you say, Sophie, they kind of tend to put their priority into their own pathways. The one for me that maybe is an outside chance, and we know they've just let the Diamond goal shooter go, but the Giants, maybe. I think she'll obviously want to get court time, and they look like they're going to persist with the Joe Harton and Kira Austin shooting circle. But I think bring her in as just kind of a depth player, and I don't know. I think that is an option, and we'll just have to wait and see how that does go and where Glasgow does end up, because she is a massive talent, and we do want to see her develop over the next couple of years and develop into a really top-tier player. And we will move on now. And now we are very excited here on the Centre Pass podcast to be joined by former Australian Diamonds coach Lisa Alexander. Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Well, first of all, obviously it's been a big year in the netball world, but also it's been a massive week in terms of Australian netball and the announcement that Caitlin Bassett will be joining the Magic over in New Zealand for 2021. What was your first reaction to that news, and what do you, now that you've had a bit of time to sit on it, what do you think of that decision?
Well, really it's the only decision that Caitlin could make. She was in a situation where it was a decision between court time and whether she was going to be able to ply her trade, really. She's still very interested in being in part of the Diamonds in the future, and she's, you know, she was very grateful and felt good about being selected in the squad initially, and, you know, she had to work pretty hard with Netball Australia to make sure that the pathway to perform and play and ply her trade in New Zealand wasn't blocked. And, you know, she had a lot of support from a lot of people, some, you know, great advisors for her. And I think probably 90% of the netball public are right behind her decision, in terms of they see that, you know, it's a mid-contract kind of break, and she's, you know, has to deal with that. And part of the reason is that a lot of the other clubs already had shooters already contracted, so they can't break contracts. And the deal with the broadcaster finishes next year. So, and if, you know, whatever happens in the future, that those things are going to determine a lot of changes in the teams from, you know, the end of 2021.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that the move is a bit of a concern for Australian netball? Obviously, we want to keep the Suncorp Super Netball competition as the premier competition in the world, really. And do you think it's a bit concerning that the captain of the Diamonds is not going to be playing in Australia?
Look, it's definitely a concern, because you really want your captain to be able to play in the country. And I think if, you know, if it was the Wallabies captain or the Kangaroos captain, there'd be a much greater outcry. But I think everyone's pretty sensible and pragmatic about the fact that it's not that it hasn't been done before. No one's played from Australia in terms of the Diamonds in the ANZ Championship in its current form in New Zealand. But certainly we've had past players like Julie Coletto and Caitlin Thwaites, who've both been in and out of the squad and been able to keep up their competitive output, I guess. Julie was following her husband over there, so, you know, it was going to be pretty imperative for her being in the Diamond squad to be able to keep playing. And we managed that quite well. It's not ideal, I have to say, because the Australian system is the system that we prefer from that, you know, being a former Diamonds coach. However, I think Stacey Marinkovic has seen this, seen that it's sensible for Caitlin to be getting court time. So that's probably the major issue at the moment.
And how do you think it will kind of benefit Caitlin Bassett's game, I guess? Obviously not necessarily getting the court time here and the super shot coming into the game.
Yeah, look, I think the super shot sort of, it's not the main reason why C. Bass, I don't think, got court time, although it's being expressed out there. I think it's just that it was a, you know, the Giants preferred to go with a different lineup. You know, Joe Harton's a captain. You know, they may have, and I think the stats show that they use the 2-point shot a lot more, the Giants. However, you know, they finish where they have on the ladder. And the stats, you know, they say that when C. Bass was playing, they were winning. So having said that, I think for Caitlin, she wants to play with an organisation that really wants her to play. And, you know, certainly the Magic have really looked at that and said, look, we've got a place, we're really keen. You know, the coach has spoken to her. She's, you know, done all the right things. I think, you know, Caitlin's been, you know, quite upset in this period of time about how it all is going to look. And she is very passionate about her position as captain of the Diamonds. She wants to continue in a leadership role. She knows that that might be more difficult, but look, she's also seeing the glass half full, and that's what I'm really admiring about her at this stage, that she's looking ahead. She's, you know, excited about the challenge. She's going to get to play on, you know, New Zealand's top defenders. And that's a real advantage. Like, I know that when she was at Lightning, you know, she was playing on Jeeva Mentor all the time at training. So she was quite used to that. And there's advantages and disadvantages with that. The advantages are that, you know, the defenders get to know her game well, but she also gets to know their game well. And, you know, she's a very intelligent performance analysis type of player. So she will really bring a lot of intelligence back to Australia and to the Diamonds program. Just as Katie Thwaites did, actually. She was, I know when, you know, we would have monthly catch-ups, she was terrific in, you know, talking to me about how the defenders were playing over there. She played against Katrina Roray a lot. The style of the New Zealand defenders is very different. So all of that will be an added value, as far as I'm concerned, to the Diamonds program and for C. Bass as an individual.
Yeah. And So obviously we've already touched on you being the ex-Diamonds coach you were for a number of years, but kind of looking to the future for you personally, do you have any kind of future coaching endeavors? And obviously there's been a few slots almost open up in SSN coming out of the season.
Yeah, there's been lots of rumours going around, I know. And look, the good thing is that means our sport's getting bigger. And some of the player managers have even been playing up, which is, kind of like rugby league. But, that's all fine. As long as, I'm very mindful of the fact that the two jobs that have actually opened up at the moment are the Queensland Firebirds, because Rosalie has stepped down, and also Collingwood. And I will consider putting my hat in for both roles. I don't know which one or how I'm going to do that yet. And I may decide not to as well, because I am very interested in going down the Australian rules football pathway as well. So there's a number of jobs available there too. So it's an exciting time, and I, definitely feel like I've got more to add in the coaching area. Although at the same time, I will be working with NetFit and Sarah Wall and Kim Green on the grassroots. And I was actually looking forward to running an academy just not far from my home here in Avoca. And at the Bendigo Academy would have been lovely, but of course, with all the restrictions, that's been put, back in its place. But from my point of view, coaching's it's a vocation you do for life, and it's a great honour to do it, and to be able to coach at the very top level is it's a very attractive thing.
You just touched on the fact that you were potentially hoping to maybe one day get into the AFL world. What is it that kind of lures you to that realm of footy, I should say?
Well, footy's always been a part of my life, and many people don't know that. I was probably brought up around a lot of AFL. Well, in those days, they were VFL footballers, especially at the school that I attended, Cheltenham Secondary. Well, it's Cheltenham Secondary College now. It's Cheltenham High School in my day. And many of our top footballers actually played for St Kilda, because it was the local St Kilda Football Club was based in Moorabbin, where it is now. And many of the players actually came from the school. And when I was young, I always just thought I would love to play AFL football, because that was what was on TV all the time, and I was a sport nut. So I played in the girlfriends' teams. I played in the school team when we had one. And I coached some of the teams. I coached my daughter's football team at school as well. So I've always loved it and been embedded in it. So I did studies on it at university as well. I did my level three, which it was at the time, in Australian rules football and cricket and swimming at the time, because I already had netball qualifications. So as a PE teacher, I just see it's sort of a part of an extension of what I would already do, having good knowledge of lots of different sports. But it's not just that, it's having that high performance knowledge. And this is the thing that I think probably those in the football world don't quite appreciate, how high performance netball is, and especially coaching the Diamonds at the international level and having all the backing of the Australian Institute of Sport and all the sports scientists and all of those things, and even, the leading teams things that we've been doing, and I'm now working for one day a week. It's all part of, that jigsaw of high performance that gets put together. So I feel quite confident that I could do it. It's obviously an idea that's very attractive for certain people, and I think the time is right. But it's just a matter of which board or which team would sort of have the guts to go ahead and do it, I suppose.
Well, I think that any team would be pretty lucky to have someone like you. You've definitely reached the highs of Australian netball. And speaking of the Diamonds, in fact, we've got now Stacey Marinkovic as head coach. What does she bring to the table that's something a little bit different in her coaching style?
I think what I like about Stacey is that she's really set herself as a career in coaching, which is very different to how I started my coaching career, because I had to, well, I didn't have to, but I chose to be a teacher and worked at that full time. But the coaching was part-time for me, so, or honorary positions, basically. So you did them as a volunteer, but I love the balance of both. I think what Stacey's done is she's actually set her mind to having a career in coaching. And so, you know, when she got the opportunity to be the assistant coach at the West Coast Fever with Norma Plummer, she jumped at the chance. So I've actually worked with Stacey for a long time because Norma took over that role the same time that I took over the Diamonds. So Stacey and I have sort of worked alongside each other for that whole period of time. And she's been invited into everything whenever we've been in Perth or, you know, for things like Fast Five or the Australian Development Squad. I've tried to enmesh her in the program as much as possible, as I have with the other coaches as well. And she's been a great supporter of the national program in preparing players and, you know, Courtney Bruce in all her training sessions. You know, one of the big things that people don't know about is when we're preparing for test series, you have to, you know, I can't go around the whole country and coach everyone. I can coach the Melbourne-based athletes, but the other coaches in the other states have to do the work with those athletes, preparing them. And so Stacey was very good at always ticking the boxes for me around how to prepare all the athletes, even to the point once I remember we trialled like a Zoom like this when I was taking a session in Melbourne and we wanted Courtney to do the session at the same time. And of course, the time differences. And look, we did it reasonably well. And if we did it today, it'd be even better. So it just shows you can get over those barriers of distance and all of those things if you work together collaboratively.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we'll move on to the court now. And we saw the squad announced for the Diamonds and a 19-player squad and a few young faces coming in. Who are you excited about and some of those young players who are you excited about seeing in the Diamonds dress in the future?
You know, I've always been a big fan of Kira Austin's. I think, you know, she was obviously picked in our squad and nearly made a team. She got presented her dress with us, but she didn't take the court, so she didn't have a test cap. But, you know, she's been an exciting young prospect for a long time. And the other one's Kim Jenner. I've just loved what she's been doing this year, and she seems to have grown again as a defender, and you know, she's caused some real headaches for some of the teams, you know, even Fever. I think the Firebirds had probably the best win against Fever, and you know, Simone McInnes will be studying that footage pretty closely, I'd say.
And do you think the lack of international series in 2020 will kind of hurt the Diamonds over the coming years or the coming year even?
Yes, I do. There's no other short way to say it. And look, we all know part of the reasons are it's probably a lot to do with COVID restrictions. It's to do with lack of funds. It's to do with the fact that the players have already been in a hub for how long, and how long can you ask them to do that and make that huge sacrifice? It was interesting seeing the Wallabies go over to New Zealand and get a draw. I was really proud of how they did that because they've been pretty much beaten around the chops for a while, the Wallabies, but they came and they showed their real passion for representing their country, and you never take that for granted. And I think it's disappointing for the history of our Diamonds that they haven't had a chance to step out on the court this year, because we might have seen some new ones. You know, you might have seen a Kira Austin take the court in 2020 or a Kim Jenner. And, you know, that's upsetting that you don't get to see them this year.
In terms of that, however, you've kind of been coaching on the sidelines, but you're no longer the coach. So do you kind of look at the games in a different light now because you don't have that added pressure of being the Diamonds coach and having to kind of focus in on every little aspect that's happening or unfolding on court?
I kind of do the same, really. Well, because part of my role was to select, and to be a really good selector, like, you know, I had Michelle Wilkins and Annie Sargent doing it. We're very thorough on what we did, and watching every game was part of it. So the difference this year is I haven't watched everything quite as fastidiously as I used to do, but I still watch the games, and I guess I can be more relaxed about seeing everything unfold and be a little bit more understanding of things happening. So from a commentary point of view, I think I would add a lot to the commentary, but maybe one day down the track.
They'll have to sign you up within a heartbeat, surely. Special comments?
I don't know. I think it's all past players at the moment. But anyway, you never know. Might have a change next year. But look, I think, you know, particularly Laura Geitz and Bianca Chatfield have done a great job. They've really added a lot to what's been a really difficult year for everybody, commentators, umpires, everybody.
Yeah, it's been a very strange year in 2020, and the 2020 Suncorp Super Netball season has been different in terms of the hubs, as you said, players making huge sacrifices, but also on the court, major rule changes, and particularly the super shot. I think we all have heard your opinion on social media about it, but what has been your take of that throughout the season?
It hasn't changed for me. I thought it was a gimmick at the start of the season, and I still think it's a gimmick. I can't really say much more than that. I can give you statistics, I can show you things, but for me, it's the fundamental purpose of netball has always been, it's actually a uniquely female game, first of all. But of course, we welcome men and boys to our game and we want them to play. But I don't want it to be the same as basketball. So that's why I have the Twitter hashtag not basketball, because not that I don't love basketball, I love watching it and watching the Opals and the Boomers, but that's their game. Our game should be unique. And if we're going to change rules like scoring rules, that is changing the nature of the game in a way that is, it's not authentic to the purpose of the game. And it's taken it too far away from the essence. I think if you had the bonus points like we did last year, that was kind of quite a good innovation, because it made the teams really have to play out each quarter. It didn't help with rotations, but I think the coaches could have been a little bit more courageous in making changes in those times and using it to their advantage. And this year you see that they have done that really well, and particularly the Melbourne Vixens, I think Simone's been superb this year with all the changes she's done. Even though I barrack for Vixens, I still appreciate that, you know, Simone's taken more risks and she's changed things up, and particularly Katie Thwaites out of goal attack has been inspiring. It's great to watch her out there.
One of the rule changes that it's kind of changed things this year is the extended benches. And there's been a lot of speculation over the last probably week or so about those bench sizes going back down next season. What do you think of, number one, the bench size going up, and do you think that's beneficial, or would you prefer it to stay at that same regular size?
Look, it's so I don't like this word normally, but it is multifactorial. Look, this year it was needed, I think, because everyone had a interrupted pre-season. There was likely to be more injuries, and that has been the case, I think. I can't tell you that for certain, but I know that they're doing some in data collection on injury, so we will see that at the end of the season. But I think it was to protect the players' welfare as well and well-being. To have 12, and especially in hubs, if there was illness or whatever, there was more flexibility to put people on if you needed to. Now, the upside of that is that we had all the youngsters, and it was terrific to see them out there. You know, Matisse Lethborough and Sophie Dwyer and, you know, the players in the Adelaide Thunderbirds, Maisie Nankerville and Georgia Horgis, who may not have been in the top 10, I don't think, at the start. So you had the coaches having the ability to bring those players in and trial, and that's great for the competition. Whether we can afford it is another thing. And the other question I would ask is, has it actually diluted the standard of play? And I'm asking that in a very serious way, because I've heard from other people who've watched the games live that the standard of play has not been quite there as it has in other years. Now, that could be a number of factors for that too. And the fact that the, you know, coaches didn't get as much court practice time with the teams, although, you know, the Vixens sort of show I think, well, they've actually shown the benefit of being together as a group for about 4 or 5 years, how they've honed their skills, and actually that's why they're looking so together. And really, Fever have too. If you think about that group, it has been largely unchanged. And maybe that's the secret this year, is the fact that those two teams have had the most consistent kind of preparation over the last 4 years to get them into this place, to get them ready to play off against each other in the grand final. I only just thought of
Oh, you must be reading our minds.
That's an exclusive for you.
Thank you very much. You must have been reading our minds, because our next train of thought was kind of, what do you think that Simone McInnes and Stacey Marinkovic would be thinking heading into this grand final? How do they kind of pit each other against each other? What's the little bits that, they might be thinking, we might try and outplay here or outsmart in this regard?
Well, I know that both coaches won't take each other for granted and think they've made it. They definitely don't. Each coach will be meticulous in their planning. That's the key. Both coaches are very, very high level with that, and with every detail. So I have to say, I admire both of how they set up their programs. They're both outstanding programs. It's going to be a matter of, finding those chinks in the armor, I guess, that one coach can exploit more and create the environment for the team into, particularly even this week leading in, because, it might be that the Vixens have had a rest week, but, Simone will have to switch everyone back on this week. And that's a part of how you learn to be a top level coach, and she will do that. And it's also getting the timing right with the tactics. So of course, Vixens didn't know who they were going to prepare for until, well, today. And so all of their preparation now will be focused on Fever, whereas Fever have been preparing against Lightning. So they've all of a sudden got to switch around and get their thoughts onto the Vixens. And they've had success against Vixens. So I think the results are what, Jared, this year? I'm sure you'll know.
So it was a draw back in, I think it was
Think
round 10 it
12.
was. So a
Yeah,
draw
okay,
between the
early.
Vixens and the Fever.
And
And
before
the
that?
Vixens got the win in round 5 by 9 points.
Well, I think they'll be having a look at that game very closely, but they will also look at the draw. And I think, the Fever know and don't fear the Vixens. So the Vixens are going to have to come out very, very much in that first quarter and really show what their business is all about. It'll be really hard to run down Fever. Every team knows that you cannot, it's really hard to run down Fever, particularly when they get their tails up. Although the Lightning disproved that over at the grand final a couple of years ago when Fever were up, and then we had the unfortunate injury to Steph, and then she comes back on and basically heroically, and Case and Chelsea was fantastic in this as well. Sorry, Kelsey Brown was fantastic in playing that game. I remember I was there, and Jeeva Mentor lifted, and gee, they had a good team, didn't they, Lightning? And Carla Pretorius, it was like an unbelievable team. And really, that's the sort of team that could overhaul what was, the Fever in those days, who had all the crowd behind them. So it'll be very interesting. Both teams won't have, big crowds of support there. So that's been very interesting. Apparently, the people have reported back to me saying that it sort of lacks something in. And that's been an interesting thing, I think, for both teams to prepare for. I think both teams have handled that very well, the Vixens and the Fever. They seem to have handled not having crowds watching them very well, or just not being distracted by it. And also the Fever obviously did very well last week, coming out with that great first quarter to really quieten down the Lightning crowd. So all of those things will play into the result on the weekend.
Well, finally, we might put you under the pump, and we might get a prediction from you who wins the grand final.
Having just been told about that result, Jared, from the season, I still think the Vixens can win. I'm going to say they'll have a win by four.
Ooh, tight one.
Very
Tight
interesting.
one.
It's going to be tight, like it will be.
Well, I think the draw was without Emily Mannix, so that's a factor that the Fever will have to now kind of contemplate when they're lining up or trying to prepare for the week.
Yeah, and I think Vixens have also, I think they've improved. I think having Kate Eddie out and then knowing that Ali Smith can come in and play so well in wing defence is a really big gear for it. It was interesting. I was listening to them talking about it in the rugby league yesterday about the teams that have got that next gear to go up in the grand final, and I think Vixens have got that gear. And the Fever, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it definitely will be. And it feels like it's the two best teams this season have come together and playing in the grand final. That is all we have time for. Lise Alexander, thank you very much for joining us here on the Centre Pass podcast.
Thank you very much.
Once again, a massive thank you to Lise Alexander for joining us this week on the Centre Pass podcast. That is all we have time for this week. Do go follow us at Centre Pass Pod on Twitter and do go to netball.draftcentral.com.au for your world netball news and reviews. And we'll speak to you later in the week to preview the 2020 Suncorp Super Netball Grand Final.